630 AM FM streaming and now a smartphone app. That's your service since 1933. WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning and backing up now because you left me alone for an hour and a half and now everyone wants to call in. I must have triggered you somehow. I've got Neil Williamson standing on the line from the Free Enterprise Forum to get into the new zoning plans in the city. We may even talk AC-44 a little bit. Good morning, Neil. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe.
Even after pouring through the draft of the Charlottesville Zones Together or whatever they call it?
And enjoying AC-44 and some of the fanciful numbers that are included in there.
Well, maybe if we have time, Ann Malik is going to join to tell me where I'm wrong about this later on. But I want to get into it because I know that Charlottesville zoning has been building around sort of this form-based code that you've talked about with us before. You know, now that they have a draft out there of the first proposal of what may come, what do you see in this that will change the most important part of the story, which is the access to affordable housing?
Well, the first and foremost, what we have in front of us is not a draft. It is kind of the framework for a potential draft. So it's not there yet. This document provides, as the planning director put it, a conceptual set of ideas and approaches that could be included in the new ordinance.
Oh, so when they released this, the press release that said the first draft, they were using the word draft kind of in broadest possible definition?
That's correct. It's a draft of their assessment and dialogue and looking at all the problems that exist and how they can fix them.
Okay.
The good news is this diagnostic document identifies a large number of the problems that exist in the current zoning code. They prevent housing projects from moving forward and increase the cost. And they have a lot of good ideas in this document, including getting rid of the entrance corridor review board. Anytime you want to get rid of a board, generally speaking, the Free Enterprise Forum is for it.
I got to say, holy cow.
Yeah, and so they want to reduce or remove minimum size requirements to allow tiny homes and park model units. I think that's a good idea. Allow more development by right. Good idea. Reduce the city's reliance on process that yields unpredictable results, such as the special use permit. All of these things are good ideas. Unfortunately, there are some bad ideas. They want to mandate at least a part of every parking area is EV ready, meaning wired for electrical vehicle charging station, even if no such vehicle charging station exists. And they want to mandate every building have bike parking.
Okay.
It's a little thing. It's not a big thing, but the market should decide that, not the government.
Right. I mean, if I'm building a building and I want people, you and I are in lockstep on the idea that the market will. If I'm building a building and I want people riding bikes to it, I'm going to put bike racks in.
Well, and it can reduce your parking and it helps your LEED certification and all these other things. And what type of bike parking? Because if you have bike lockers, it's better than if you have a bike rack for your residents. But bike lockers are more expensive. Is the city going to mandate bike lockers? Those are deeper questions. But the one I mentioned in my blog post yesterday, the good, the bad, and the ugly, there was one piece of this diagnostic that absolutely was ugly. And it was under the idea of sensitive areas and that the city would have a first right of refusal for purchase of for sale properties.
That's scary.
That's scary and horrifying because it would really upset the market. And we've proven, the market has proven, not we, that actually affordable units can sell and remain affordable. I think it was Midway Manor that came about not too long ago. And they're actually getting, not only did it sell and stay affordable, they're getting refurbished because of the manner in which the tax credits are being put together, and it's an innovative program. Why do we want to get in the way of that? Why should the city have first right of refusal on anything? The city can participate as any buyer can.
Mm-hmm.
This should be removed from the zoning diagnostic and approach document.
Well, I don't even see how this would considerably be constitutional, given our belief in private property ownership, unless the city is saying, no, we don't, you know, cotton to that anymore.
Well, I think they're trying to position it in such a way that this is a very small portion of sensitive areas to only take care of those that are potentially displaced. I still say it's wrong. It's property rights, and it's wrong.
Well, and generally that just creates new sensitive areas where people are being marginalized. Can I hang on to you, Neil? I've got to go to the news here at half past, but I want to talk about this. What is the lattice work for determining what are these sensitive areas in the city and how that will be, I guess the phrase would be, adjudicated. Can we hang on to you?
You bet.
No matter who your congressperson winds up being in the redistricting,
you will respect my authority.
It's still Joe Thomas in the Morning on WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, and I don't know if it's a plan to keep out the damn Yankees or not, but we've got all sorts of different plans and drafts of new zoning proposals in the city. Neil Williamson is on with us from the Free Enterprise Forum talking about the framework to a draft, to a plan for the city's zoning code upgrades. Now, there's going to be a town hall-style meeting on this at the Ting Pavilion on Monday night, Neil, if I'm not mistaken, in the early evening, correct?
Right, Monday at 4 o'clock at the Ting Pavilion. There'll be several, what they call stations set up to discuss the various elements of this framework and to get public feedback about what they think about it. And I'll be there. Promises to be a hootenanny of a time.
Well, and this is when somebody says, well, how did I lose this ability to sell my property? This is when it happens. So I know it's not as sexy as the 7th Congressional District primary, but I think this is the kind of stuff you wake up one morning and somebody's putting up a sign saying no trespassing on your front yard. And you're like, hold it, this is my house. Nah, I'm sorry, you didn't read the fine print there. So we were talking about these sensitive areas in the city's draft or framework. How does the city decide or determine what is a sensitive area where they would then have right of first refusal to veto any property purchases?
Right. Well, the process is critically important.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you have to understand is that the city has already gone through an affordable housing plan and a comprehensive plan update that inform this document. And the sensitive areas have been identified in the comprehensive plan update. They're now part of the comprehensive plan. So you've got it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear about public input sessions at the Ting Pavilion or at Albemarle County Office Building 5th Street, that's the time to get involved and say, hey, wait a minute, what does this mean? And what does it mean to me? I will tell you, reading 100 and whatever it is, 12 pages of potential zoning text, even though it has some pictures, is a little dry. But these presentations actually are quite good, and they have good people working on it, and there are good things in it. Ask the questions. How is this going to impact me?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, you know, we talk about this with Ridge Schuyler and Frank Squillace at the Network to Work program all the time. You know, one of the more holistic ways to create affordable housing is to create better job opportunities so people make more money and therefore can afford whatever housing is there. There's also the puzzlement to me that when, you know, a community is struggling economically, people keep saying, well, this is what this apartment's worth, even if it's empty. And I don't know how you fix that. But let's talk about the first. Does this zoning draft have any idea or any addressment of job opportunities, business creation, that kind of economic activity?
Well, the business creation piece is really much more in the comprehensive plan. But the idea behind the zoning is to get the heck out of the way. And so by reducing the regulatory barriers and focusing on the form rather than the use is a different approach to zoning. And it is a better approach, in my opinion, because it really doesn't matter what I do in my box, because in my box is my space, and how it relates to the public sphere is really what zoning is concerned about.
Now, you know, obviously this is, you know, the beginning of the beginning, so it's not even the beginning of the end. So this is going to start going through review process. By the time it gets to the city councilors, you know, how many of these good things, and I like your column in the Clint Eastwood references, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How many of these good proposals do you hope can remain, and can we take out the bad ones without sacrificing some of the good ones?
It's an interesting dynamic in the city, because the city is about to have a whole host of changes on their planning commission. 5 members of the 7-member planning commission are going to change in the next 60 days. That's incredible. And there's going to be a learning curve bringing those folks up to speed. That being said, the current planning commission has been very active in favor of many of these zoning reforms. And the council members, when they were running for election, also were in favor of making it easier to develop in the city to be a city. Mm-hmm. So I think philosophically they're there. It's just when it gets down to the brass tacks and the NIMBYs and the others that'll come out, how does that reflect in the document?
What is driving this turnover in the planning commission, and who is this, an appointee of the city council or the city manager?
These are city council appointees, and it is a troublesome coordination of end of terms. And they, planning commissioners can only serve 2 terms. So they have folks that are cycling out, and have it just is they're changing the terms now so that when they bring these 6 folks on, some are going to be on for 1 year, some are going to be on for 2 years, so that it's much more staggered, so we don't have this wholesale change happen again. It happened because of resignations and some other things. It really could have been avoided, but nobody was forward thinking at that time to shorten the term or lengthen the term to create continuity.
Well, and certainly, you know, the press in Charlottesville isn't going to look at something like this and not cover it like, you know, more high-ranking city officials leaving. So that would never happen, Neil. I really appreciate everything, and your column is brilliant. We'll share it out on social media. We even have a Getter account now. So Clint Eastwood and the Charlottesville zoning plan. You have a great morning, and thank you for taking us through it a little bit.
Thank you, Joe.
And again, the 27th at the Ting Pavilion, starting at 4.
Trusting you to know information from disinformation.
I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Without a government board.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no.
WCHV.